Well, thank you, Solzar. this is Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio, and as mentioned, I'm your host for this segment, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And by relationships, I mean any relationship that you might have. It could be a very close, intimate relationship. It could be simply an acquaintance. It could be a colleague. It could be a boss. It could be a subordinate. Anytime that you interact with another person, you're in a relationship with them. And the purpose of communication is to exchange ideas and also to build that relationship bond. Now, I'll be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building coming up. I am trying to put a schedule together for July, and there's more information available if you contact me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart, all one word. And this is the first segment of my longer segments now, instead of the shorter ones I was doing previously. And remember that listening is not just about hearing the words the other person is saying. It's much more than that. Even when you're in a listening mode, it's about really engaging that other person. And a dialogue is what's going on, even if the other person is doing all the speaking and you're doing all the listening. Now, today, I'm going to be talking about some very basic ideas about, I'll start off with a question that you might be having, which is, why should I build listening skills? And I'm going to talk about how identifying acceptable and unacceptable behaviors is a crucial element to that, and then identifying who owns the problem, if there is a problem. And then I will proceed with talking about the difference between reacting and responding, and then I will finish up with an overview of the listening skill that I teach called tracking. And all of this dovetails very nicely with what Solzar was just expressing about mastering your fear and having gratitude, because a lot of the ways that communication gets interfered with have their roots in some kind of fear, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And the second thing is that what I have learned is that even when there's a challenging or difficult conversation going on, I am grateful for that because it helps me understand whether or not I'm reacting or responding. And if I can respond and stay in my aware heart, even in the face of criticism or in the face of some negative feelings going on, then that's an indication that I've been able to grow beyond my own fears. And for that, I am very grateful. So first, why build listening skills? This is, if you're listening to this, you might be wondering about that. I mean, isn't communication about speaking, about expressing your thoughts, your feelings, and getting them to the other person? And that is certainly true, but that is only one half of the equation. For every speaker, there's a listener. And for some reason, we don't acquire these listening skills. And I'm not quite sure why, but it was very late in my life that I even recognized that there was such a thing as listening skills. Now, I'm going to make some assumptions about, and I just wanted to be clear about what they are. My first assumption is that each one of us want all of our relationships to be as happy and conflict-free as possible. And that's true even for casual relationships, even for acquaintances, even for somebody that you've just met. Our intention is to have a wonderful relationship. And this is, of course, especially true for intimate relationships. If you're with a partner or a spouse, then these communication skills, especially the listening skill, is so important. A very common complaint that you hear from women mostly, but also on both sides, is that they're like if they're in a relationship with a man, that they feel that he doesn't listen. How do you know that? Well, you hear, he doesn't listen to me. This is true in not just heterosexual relationships, in all relationships, that there's usually someone who has more of a challenge in listening. And the thing about listening skills is that you, as a skill can always be acquired. It can always be built. It can always be mastered, no matter where you're starting from. Now, there are some people for whom it comes very naturally, and there are others, like myself, for whom it doesn't come naturally. And I've had to struggle and work very hard at becoming more of an effective listener. One area where this is particularly important and most difficult is in our family, especially our family of origin and extended family relationships, in-laws and the like. That is often an oil and water type of thing. There's often a disagreement that devolves into hurt feelings. And the thing about your family is that you don't get to choose your family. They're really there, and they're always an important part of what your life is. And so anything that will help that relationship be better, be happier, and more conflict free is of course going to be a benefit. Now, many resentments and hurt feelings and conflicts that come up, these can often be avoided or overcome with improved communication. When I read or hear therapists, coaches, business executives, they all agree that effective communication is essential in all relationships, whether they're work or personal relationship. And when it comes to communication, listening is the one skill that is often deficient. Take a moment and see how many of these fit your listening pattern. Do you ever find yourself interrupting the other person before they manage to finish? Do you ever find yourself, you know, not really engaged with the other person, that you're just kind of going, okay, yeah, whatever? Do you ever find yourself listening to someone else and you're mentally disagreeing with them? As they're speaking, you're thinking, no, they're wrong about that. I disagree. Are you preparing your rebuttal while they're speaking? You know, so they're talking and talking, but you're not really hearing what they're saying. You're thinking, okay, he said this, and I can say that in order to rebut that. Or maybe you're just mentally tapping your foot, waiting for them to stop talking so you can say what you have to say. And maybe you're just listening to the words and not paying attention to the feelings or the nonverbal messages. So if any of these match a situation with it that you find yourself in, then acquiring improved listening skill will be beneficial. And I can say that with authority because I have done every single one of those. And I have been getting better. I would not say I'm 100% there. It's a work in progress. But each one of those things that I mentioned are some things that I have done and that I have helped overcome with myself with acquiring listening skills. Now, I mean, turn these around. How do you react if somebody is doing any of these to you? So you're talking to someone and they keep interrupting you. Or you're talking to someone and it looks like they're not really there. They're just kind of muttering. Or you can tell that the wheels are spinning in their mind and they're just kind of trying to think of something to say that'll rebut what you're saying. Or they're disagreeing. Or they're just kind of rolling their eyes or waiting until they finish. Now, how does that feel to you when you're expressing something that you feel is important? I mean, why say anything at all? Why say anything at all to someone else? Because you want them to hear. You want them to get your message. Now, when it comes to listening, there's a saying of Stephen Covey, in fact, I think it's one of his seven habits, and that is a paraphrase of the St. Francis prayer, which is, Seek first to understand and then be understood. Seek first to understand and then be understood. And what that means to me is that before I express my point of view, especially if it's in an area of conflict, I really want to understand as deeply as possible where the other person is coming from. Because it may be that what I think I'm disagreeing with, I may actually agree with. Or it may be more clear as to why the other person is expressing what they're expressing. And especially when it comes to feelings, remember, feelings are neither right nor wrong. If you feel something, then you feel it. And you're not wrong for feeling that way. You know, whether it's a pleasant feeling like happy or even an unpleasant feeling like angry or distressed. I mean, you're not, none of those are wrong. Your feelings are always okay. Now, how you express it is another matter. Feeling angry is of course, absolutely okay. Expressing your anger by criticizing or even some violent method, that's not okay. Now, I'll get into some of that. So listening is a skill that can be learned, it can be practiced, and like any other skill, then if you don't practice it or if you practice it ineffectively, which is how I practice listening for most of my life, then it tends to atrophy or it tends to develop habits that are not ideal. So I hope I've convinced you that building your listening skills is something that's worthwhile. And next I'm going to talk about acceptable versus unacceptable behaviors. And this is a key point here, because I'm focusing on behaviors here. This is how to put into context when to use this tracking skill that I'm going to talk about later. So what are behaviors? Well, behaviors are, I break down into three things. One is an action. The other person is doing something. Another behavior is the opposite of that. It's a lack of action, that when the other person doesn't do something. And then the third behavior that I focus on is words, what the other person is saying. So they may not be doing anything, they simply may be saying something. But these are all behaviors because they are tangible and they are concrete. So an action is when the other person is doing something. So let's say a friend puts their arm around me, or maybe somebody who I barely know or just met, they hug me tightly without my acknowledging or permission. Or my wife threw out some of my papers after she checked with me and said, is it okay to throw these out? Okay, that's an action, that's a behavior. But if my wife threw out some of my papers without checking on me, again, it's the same action, and yet the fact that I wasn't checked with moves it from an acceptable to an unacceptable behavior. So a friend putting their arm around me, I mean, if that's how our relationship is, then that's perfectly acceptable. However, if somebody who I don't know that well and I don't feel that it's appropriate or acceptable, I mean, if I get hugged without my permission, then that's not acceptable. That's not okay. And if my wife throws out papers after she checks with me, then that's perfectly okay. But if she sees something, some of my papers, and just throws them out without checking with me, that's not okay. Now, I have to say that my wife always checks with me, so that is not really an issue. So you notice how each of these, it's like a continental divide. It's either acceptable or it's not acceptable, and I find that dichotomy very, very useful. Now, a lack of action is when the other person doesn't do something. So for example, my son doesn't take out the garbage after he promised to, or my son didn't take out the garbage and it wasn't his job that day and nobody asked him to do it. Again, lack of action, one is acceptable and one isn't. If he promised to and didn't do something, then that's not acceptable. If he didn't do something but it wasn't really anything that had been explicitly requested, then that part is acceptable. Or words, when the other person says something, So I go home. My wife tells me about her day. That's perfectly acceptable. But I go home and my wife criticizes me for not listening well. Well, that's not acceptable. I mean, I'm okay about hearing feedback always, but being criticized is something that isn't acceptable. So a friend complains to me about a coworker. Again, that's actually acceptable because it doesn't involve me. It has no tangible impact on me. But if the same friend tells me that I wasn't a good friend, then that's not acceptable. That's a criticism. Now, when you consider it from this perspective, I mean, the idea is to identify the tangible things. And tangible can either be doing something, not doing something, or saying something. But the following are all acceptable, regardless. The other person's thoughts, the other person's feelings, their beliefs, their values, those are always acceptable. Not that you agree with them, but it's always acceptable that they have them and they have no tangible impact on you. So if a person is thinking something and they're not saying anything about it, then it doesn't impact me in the least. Now, why talk about it this way? Because when identifying which communication skill, especially which listening skill to use, it's important to identify in a problem area who is the owner of the problem, who owns the problem. So the context is a problem has shown itself. Now, what's a problem? A problem could be something as simple as somebody expresses some difficult feelings, or somebody could have a problem with someone else, or they could have a problem with me. Now, who owns it? If it falls into an acceptable area, then the other person owns it, meaning it's their problem. On the other hand, if it falls into an unacceptable area, then I own it, or we may both own it together. But it's not just the other person's if it falls in the unacceptable. So that's why it's important to distinguish between what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. And working on this is where the idea of boundaries really comes in very strongly. And that's a topic for another segment. But so, for example, you know, the another person, your friend complains about a third person. You know, can you believe what Shirley did? Or, you know, John was late for the meeting for the fifth time. Or my boss is such a jerk. Now, all of those, as stressful as they sound, those are all in an acceptable area for me, for the listener. Or the other person might be struggling with an important decision. You say, I'm thinking of asking Gwen to marry me, but I'm not sure if she's really the one. Or I'm wondering if I should go back to school, but I don't know if I could handle the loss of income. Or, you know, my roommate wants to get another cat, and I think we have enough cats. And these are things that the speaker is saying to you. And again, all of those are things that you're not directly involved with. You're just kind of hearing them vent a little bit. And so going forward now in this segment, I'm going to only focus on problems that the other person owns. In other words, they're in the area of acceptable behavior for the listener. Now, problems that I own or we own together, that's another topic, and I'll cover that in another segment. Now, the most important element of all of this is to never make anybody wrong. Never make anybody wrong. And that starts with yourself. Never make yourself wrong. And then extend it to the other person. Never make the other person wrong. Even if they are wrong, don't make them wrong for being wrong. So what do I mean by making wrong as opposed to being wrong? Well, making wrong means judging, blaming, or criticizing. So if somebody says something that you disagree with, you don't have to judge them. You don't have to blame them. You don't have to criticize them. And in fact, you can validate them whether you agree with them or not. And that brings us to reacting versus responding. You see, when we react, we're coming from an unconscious place, and there are basically two of those that I identify. One is the victim. So when we're a victim, it means that we're mired in our negative feelings. And these are often driven by old and maybe even wounds from one's childhood. The victim makes yourself wrong. So just as an example, if your wife or partner raises her voice, it reminds you of when your mother would criticize you or raise her voice to you. Or maybe when your husband or partner yells, it reminds you of when your father would get angry and yell and you were little and it just felt terrible. And so one way of coping with that as children is that we take it in, we make ourselves wrong. You know, I'm bad. The second unconscious place is the judge. And the judge, and this is where the fear comes in. The fear of the judge is often that of losing control and having their ego driving things. You know, the judge is in the head. And that's also driven by old coping mechanisms, often from a childhood, because sometimes children become victims when they encounter difficult things, and sometimes they become the judge. So, for example, like if you were punished as a small child and you felt really angry about that, you might take that out on a younger sibling or a friend. And the judge comes from the need to fix the other person. And here's the thing, is that everybody is really perfect, whole, and complete, just as they are. They don't need to be fixed. And the more you try to fix the other person, the more, usually the more resistant they're going to be to it, especially if they haven't, if they haven't requested it. So now, those are the two ways of react, but instead, what I advocate is responding. And responding is coming from a place that I call the aware heart. It's being conscious, it's being responsive, not reactive. And it's where you see everybody is okay, starting with yourself. I'm okay, you're okay, as the old book goes. But, you know, and as much of a cliche as that is so important, and it is much more challenging than you might think, just by thinking of the cliche. And the idea is that you are now in a position to make conscious choices instead of reacting from old tapes. Now again, we're in a situation where we want to respond rather than react to somebody who is expressing something that is not a problem area for me. And that brings us to tracking. And tracking is the listening skill that's taught, that I teach in effective communication and relationship building. And the objective of tracking is to hear and understand the speaker's message as deeply as possible, and then to validate the speaker's message. And when I say listening, your listening is not just about being silent and hearing and taking things in. It's about engaging in that dialogue, and the tracking skill gives you the words with which to enter that dialogue without having it interfere with the progress of having the speaker express, the other person express what they're getting at. So by validating the speaker's message, it shows that you're engaged, that you're listening deeply, and that you really get what they're trying to get at, get what that message is. You go beneath the words themselves and you get into the feelings or the angst or what's going on with them. And the tracking responses often help the speaker express their message more clearly or more deeply, because oftentimes, when somebody is saying something, especially in an area of difficult feelings, they're trying to work it out. And by tracking, you can help them work it out without giving them advice or suggestions. Often the initial statements can seem confusing or disjointed, and tracking helps clarify what is bothering them. So I'm going to finish up with some of the mechanics of tracking, and I'll talk much more about this in future segments. So the first thing is to keep the focus on the speaker. That is, give the other person your full attention, both with your facial expressions, with your eye contact, with your body language. You know, you're focused entirely on them. Now, when it comes to using words, tracking only uses the pronoun you, unless it's, well, at least to begin with, just only use the pronoun you and avoid any other pronoun. And that means to avoid a lot of the standard boilerplate phrases like, oh, I hear you say, or if I'm hearing you right. And certainly one to avoid is I understand. Because in an area where the other person is experiencing angst, I got news for you, you don't understand anything. You don't understand until the speaker knows that you understand, and that's how tracking can get you. So instead of any of those, two very common ways to begin the response is with either the word so or the word so you. And you want to respond in your own words with what you felt the message was, you know, what was getting at. And that may have little to do with the words themselves. That's one of the reasons that the, you know, I hear you say, or echoing back what the person said, is often not as effective as you think it might be, because the message is often hidden beneath the words. And so what tracking is about, it's about decoding that hidden message, both for your sake in terms of understanding what they're getting at, and also for helping the speaker, the other person, understand what they're getting at, because if they were totally conscious, they'd be able to express it in a manner which is very clear and not making anyone wrong. But often when a problem presents itself, they're making somebody wrong. So, but focus only on what's being expressed. Avoid mind reading. Don't bring in your own stuff, and pay particular attention to nonverbal cues. So just some example tracking responses, and I'll get into this more in later segments. So, you know, somebody's expressing sadness, you might, so you're sad about what happened, instead of, you know, I hear that blah, blah, blah happened. Or you might, so you're feeling discouraged, or so you felt criticized, or so you found that hard to hear, or so something happened that you're not okay with. So you're confused about why it happened. Again, all of these would be the initial response, depending on what they said. Of course, match them or anything else that you come up with what they're actually saying. And I'm going to leave you just with a little homework, a little quiz. So how would you track or respond to these, to the following? So your friend comes to you and says, I was passed over for a raise again. How would you validate that? Or another friend says, can you believe what John said to me? How would you track that? Or another friend says, I was really hoping that Amanda would go out with me. Or we might say, it's no use, I'll never get a date. Or think of times when somebody you know has said something and you weren't sure what to say, but you knew that they were expressing something. Or maybe think of a time when, instead of listening and validating what they were saying, you gave them advice. Well, you know, what I think you should do is, you know, or hey, there are plenty of fish in the sea, or, you know, don't, you know, oh, well, she's just, you know, she really lost out on a good guy by turning you down. They may feel supportive when you say things like that, but they're actually quite invalidating. So until next time, today I've talked about why we build listening skills, unacceptable and acceptable behaviors, identifying who owns the problem, how to react as opposed to respond, and what tracking is about. At least we dipped our toes in that. And you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every third Thursday at 5:10 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And to learn more about effective listening and more in my workshops, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's A-H-B-U-S-S at ConsciousAwareHeart, all one word, .com. You can like me on Facebook at AwareHeart, all one word, or follow me on Twitter at Effect5Comm, that's EFFECT, the number 5, COMM.